Yeah, I'm an addict. My name is Greg.
Hey, Greg.
I want to apologize for the seating condition because, you know, it's a tradition meeting, so we knew it was going to be standing room only, so I hope everybody was able to find a seat, you know. I guess y'all can tell by now I'm a pretty silly addict. I didn't drive all the way across the bridge to mug and grit and talk about how miserable my life is.
That's right.
And this is a tradition meeting, so it's not a story meeting. You know, there's really nothing hip and slick and tricky about the traditions, you know. And I'm not one of those that would go to a tradition meeting and say, well, you know, the first tradition is, but look, let me tell you what's going on with me today. You know, newcomer needs to kind of follow in our footsteps. And if we don't share the traditions with them, we might as well just go on and do something else, you know. And I remember my grand sponsor, before he left us, he used to drag me around at tradition meetings, you know. I was like, and he would look at me and he would say, boy, why would you want to be a part of something that you don't know a damn thing about? I was like, whoa, you know. And so for all you purists, because I know there's some in the house, you know, you can get your little pencil out right now and take down my name so you, whoever you go to report to, you can report to them. But we borrowed these traditions and steps from Alcoholics Anonymous. You don't have to believe me. You just have the newcomer or your sponsee or whoever it is. Look on the back of the traditions at the very bottom and see what it says. And it says, as borrowed. But we have earned the right to stand on our own. And it talks about these principles just as valid today as they were when they were first formulated. So we kind of need to know how they were formulated. So I'm going to get to the fourth tradition real quick. But I actually want to talk about the traditions in general. And the reason I'm doing that is because, first of all, if y'all have any doubt, I'll just take you to the end, the very end, so y'all know that I'm, you know, qualified to stand up here. In the very end, and I was sharing this with a buddy of mine last night, I need to remember, I was trying to get an opiate suppository up my rear. I didn't know you were supposed to let them chill so they would be kind of stiff. It was summertime. Y'all know what happened. And I just kept shoving, you know. I was the petty addict in the end that I'd walk in your house, go to your bathroom, open your medicine cabinet, and look for something, anything that says may cause drowsiness. I didn't care if it was Midol, Pamperin. If I thought it would put me in a nod, I'd take it. So that's how I got here, you know. And I'm also cognizant of the fact that the only reason I'm here is because I couldn't stop using. I'm not here because the big boys beat my ass. I'm not here because I had a little. I could not stop using. And so I'm real clear that my only contribution to getting to Narcotics Anonymous was to keep using. So if you're in here and you actually think that you had something to do with getting here, this is going to be a hard program for you, you know. And so we're talking about these traditions. And first of all, you know, words are so important, you know. And my sponsor always tells me about not only are the words important, but the meanings are important and actually how we convey them to other folk. So I'm here to tell you, if you don't believe me, you can't break the traditions. You just can't do it. You can break with tradition, which basically means that if that's, you know, I can explain it to you. Let's say Thanksgiving. I invite you over to my house for Thanksgiving dinner, and you don't come. You didn't break the tradition. You just broke with the tradition, because Thanksgiving's going to go on just fine without your ass, you know. And so when we come here, we talk about traditions, you know, and my sponsor, you know, and I'm not speaking out of school because he manages to show up. So I had to keep this right on point. What my sponsor tells me is that proper preparation will prepare you from having piss poor performance. You know, and so I prepared. You know, now just run this by you real quick. Tradition, the process of handing down information, beliefs, and customs by word of mouth or example. That's what we're doing here. By word of mouth or example. And it also talks about an inherited body of principles, standards, and practices serving as an established guide for an individual or a group. Nowhere in there it says something you have to do. Nowhere it said it was a rule. You know, it's just stuff that has been traditionally passed down. You know, and so like I said, it's not nothing real slick and hip about the tradition. It's hard for you to try to share on a tradition and then slip in, you know, that you were tricking last night, you know, and relate that to the tradition. There are going to be other meetings that you can do that in, you know. But you can always pretty much tell when it's a tradition meeting, you know. And I used to try to avoid them like the plague. But what I didn't realize was a lot of the behaviors that we used out in the streets to survive, they are applicable to what we do in here. Now, I don't know about y'all, but we had some real strict traditions out on the street. Some of y'all know those traditions. Look, don't bring nobody new over my house. It wasn't personal. See, the traditions are not personal. They're for the protection of the group. So when they say don't bring no new people over my house, it wasn't personal. They just wanted to protect the group so that the group could keep functioning. You know, when the original founders of the 12 steps, when they were completed, do you know what he said? He looked back and he said, and now the fellowship is safe from me. I ain't just, go look that up, you know, because that's important that we do that. You know, we try to find out where we came from. So these traditions are basically, man, just a set of guides that have been passed down from predecessor to predecessor to predecessor to predecessor. And you know how it says there are the guidelines that will keep our fellowship what?
Damn.
But let me tell you, you know, there's a part in there that we don't read because we're busy texting, you know, getting emails, and you know, and the part in there where it says, understanding these principles come what? Slowly over a period of time. And how do we get this information? We visit various groups. Now, see, I didn't, you know, I was too busy when I first got here. I didn't want to hear all that. I wanted to get to the drama. And I missed that piece. And so what happened was, you know how we would go to these meetings? And somebody would stand up and they'd be sharing for about 5 minutes. And they said, well, I need to sit down because my sponsor told me if I share for more than 15 minutes, I'm lying. You know, and I go to another meeting and somebody would say that my sponsor told me I share for 15 minutes, I'm lying. So one day I went to a meeting in an entirely different area. And the guy was at the podium and he was sharing. I'm watching my watch. 15 minutes. I'm watching my watch. Brother was still sharing. You know, and in my mind, I'm going past the dice. You know, what are you working on? You know, 45 minutes into the sharing, I'm so caught up, I didn't hear one word he said until he said, and now the meeting is open for the newcomer that would like to share on the topic. See, I didn't know that was that group, and that was their policy, that the speaker would share for 45 minutes, and they would open it up for the newcomer to share for the last 15. I heard nothing the guy said, because I was so caught up, because I didn't pay attention to what we talk about. We visit various groups, you know, not the same old group. You know, home groups are cool. But what you're going to get from your home group is what you're going to get from your home group. Every once in a while, you need to venture out and go to somebody else's home group in somebody else's state, somebody else's town, somebody else's country. You know, so when we talk about the fourth tradition, we're talking about autonomy. That's a big word, just means mind your business. That's basically what it means. You know, what goes on in other meetings, you know, well, they don't do that over here. Well, they're not over here. You know, that autonomy gives each group the right unless it affects NA as a whole. You know, and so, you know, I'm up here, so, I'm, you know, some stuff I talk about, my sponsor told me, you know, that in order to be up here, you got to be free. But what's important, freedom ain't free. You know, so if I say something, you know, and if somebody be saying, if you're new and I say something and you go, what in the is he talking about? Step to me after the meeting. I'd be glad to try to get it to you or get somebody that can give it to you. But I'm talking about my experience, you know. And so when we talk about other groups, that ain't no different than talking about another addict. It's gossip. Go to that group. Try to participate in them. See what they're doing. We got groups that say the Lord's Prayer. We got groups that don't say the Lord's Prayer. We got groups that mimic the steps. We got groups that don't mimic the steps. I saw somebody get upset because it was only three readings. You know, man, listen. If you in here today on a Saturday morning in April, you ain't got a hype in your neck. You ain't geeking. You know, and you know what? Even if you are, you're still a member of Narcotics Anonymous if you don't want to use the day. You know, that doesn't it say that somewhere in the traditions? People don't like to hear that. You know that? Do you know you can be almost in a nod and still be a member of Narcotics Anonymous? Because doesn't it talk about the only requirement for membership is a desire? And since that's a quality that cannot be measured, you cannot, nobody in here can tell how bad I want to stay clean. Even if I do something real crazy, that has nothing to do with how bad I want to stay clean. So traditions are really important. I would encourage, you know, sponsors, sponsees, grand sponsors, whatever your family tree is, to participate in some kind of education about these traditions. You know, because they are the guidelines to help keep us alive and free. And we also have to be careful. Don't try to beat people up with the traditions. You know, you're breaking the tradition. And you get some patience. Get some tolerance. You know, we all just addicts, you know. And so the traditions, like I said, help to protect the group. You know, the traditions are usually the first time that we're able to get out of our self-centeredness, because it doesn't have anything to do with me. It has to do with us. And what I need to stay in touch with, as long as there's an us, me got a shot. You know, if I just think it's me, I'm going to get to the point where I don't need us. And y'all know what's going to happen. I'll be standing right down there on 7th Street looking stupid, talking about, oh, what happened? Who won the game? Maybe none of y'all did that, you know. You know what I'm talking about, sponsors, with the newspaper in the back of your pocket? Like you're reading about world events. So, you know, I'm injecting some humor because, like I said, and y'all come from all different areas, so you know, when they say it's a tradition meeting, it's like, well, I need to find another meeting I can go to, you know. Because like I said, it's hard to get to the drama in a tradition. But if you actually look at the traditions, we create our own drama within them just in the application. Just that one sentence I talked about where it says the only requirement for membership. You know, when I got here, I was on Elavil, Cinequan, Prozac, and Methadone. Oh, yeah. And I was on the psych ward. Y'all like to call it treatment. I was on the psych ward, and I was in them pajamas, and I was like, and that's what y'all did. Y'all was doing that too, and y'all was like, look at, he ain't working on nothing. How did you know? Out of the 40 guys who were on that ward, two of us made it. And the other guy that made it has the same name as me, and he is now a fully qualified counselor on that ward. And I get the reports of all those 38 other guys that come back through, just keep coming back through. We were the only two dope fiends on the ward. All them other folk was like, crack. You know how it is when you do crack. You stay away from it for a minute and you, all right. See, because your body ain't telling you, look, I don't care how you think you feel. You better get some more dope. You know. I'm just saying that to say, man, that the traditions help in a strange way to keep us out of the judgment business. You know, that's why it says they are the guidelines that help keep our fellowship alive and free. And that's the part for me, free. You know, that means I can go right now, I can go to Iran, and they practicing the same 12 traditions there as we practice in here. So no matter what my language barrier is, what my religious beliefs are, any of that, there's a place that I can go and I know there's a set of principles that I can practice in my life that apply wherever I go. Now, some of us, we don't want any traditions, you know, because we like to run some shit. I know y'all don't have none of that happening in your business meetings. You know what I mean? And you know how in the business meetings when they all go, well, man, you know, JoJo, he just dominate the whole meeting, you know. Look, when I was a young teenager in the infantry, we used to have a saying, and this applies to the traditions, lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. What the traditions will teach you is that it's going to be an appropriate time for you to know which one of those you need to do. Because some days you need to lead. And some days you need to follow. And some days you need to just shut up and get out the way. You know, once you get that balance in these traditions, man, this thing gets a lot clearer. You know, and so we're talking about something that's for the protection of the group. You know, there was a time, I'll tell you about just a little bit more about the traditions. There was a time when, not just like today, when we used to say, tradition meeting. And this is back when Jimmy Kay, they had just come from Bob, you know, and they had just, this is back 1953. And they had come back and they said, oh, these traditions, they're going to work for the addicts, right? And addicts say, you know, traditions. But they were in place. We just didn't practice them. There was a 3-week period. I think it was 3 weeks. Might have been longer. A period of time when there were no NA meetings in the country. Because folk had just gotten kind of, we don't need this. But I'm here to tell you, these are the principles that will keep us alive. That's the first part. And you got to be alive in order to be free. Because I don't know the alternative. I came real close. I had a battle with the Grim Reaper earlier this year, last year, but I'm here. But I need to tell you that it's better to be alive and free, because that's the only thing I have experience with. I got the knee knocked, so... you know, that's my story. I'm going to stick to it.
Let's thank Greg for sharing. All right. Okay. At this time, I'd like to introduce the next speaker, Sheila from Rockville, sharing on the fifth tradition.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sheila, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Sheila.
And I'm nervous. You know, one day at a time. You know, thank you so much, Greg, you know, for the information, you know, on the traditions. Man, I said I forgot my book, but, you know, I had to say when I arrived in here that I'm not in charge. You know, God is. Let me thank the God of my understanding, who is loving, caring, compassionate, forgiving, and, man, fifth tradition. Each group, primary purpose, our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. You know, and I was like, man, my higher power is really in charge, you know what I mean? Because he pick and choose, you know, the times for us to come in here and to be of service. My clean date is October the 14th, 1995. And just to back up a little bit, before I came to Narcotics Anonymous, my life was terrible. Living in the wreckage of the past, you know. Before I picked up any drugs. Drugs are just a symptom of the disease, but before I picked up any drugs, there was a lot of things going on with me, you know. So by the time I arrived in Narcotics Anonymous, Man, I had been beaten. You know, I had came in here in desperation, you know, helpless and hopeless. And I'm still learning the traditions. And like Greg was sharing, you know, you learn the traditions over a period of time. So when I came in here, I thought that I came here to get clean. You know, I didn't think that, I didn't know that I had to come in here and participate. You know what I mean? I didn't know that it was about a group. I thought it was about me. I heard my grand sponsor share this morning. She was saying something about how she thought the world revolved around her. And I thought the same thing when I came in here. You know, and so going to meetings and you all telling me to keep coming back, you know, and learning how to start being of service, because I always served me. It was always about me, you know. And when I came in here, you know, and hearing you all share your experience, strength, and hope, and being examples, you know, because that's all we have to give. All we have is our experience. You know, it says it's a therapeutic value of one addict helping another without parallel. You know, and it's about us sharing our experience, strength, and hope, and getting together with the unity. You know, it talks about the unity and the traditions, and us coming together working as a group, because we're just trusted servants. You know, we have policies and procedures in place. You know, that we have positions like the chairperson, the secretary, you know, the coffee maker, you know, the greeter in a meeting. Because when I came in here, I was real afraid. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't believe anything you all were saying. I was wondering why you all were passing that basket around. You know what I mean? And then I was having crazy thoughts in my head. You know, maybe I should stick my hand in the basket and take a couple of dollars out. Because I'm talking about that addict behavior. Coming in here sick. Like I said, drugs are just a symptom of the disease. You know, it says that the message is hope and the promise is freedom. You know, from active addiction. And when I came in here and you all shared that with me and you all told me to keep coming back, I was like, man, why they keep telling me to keep coming back? Because I remember they used to put me out of houses. You know, so when y'all said keep coming back, I kept coming back. I kept coming back. You know, I ended up getting that sponsor, you know, and her guiding me through the steps, you know, and then, you know, reading traditions, you know, breaking the traditions. And I heard you saying something about breaking the traditions, you know, and learning. So I just have to be real careful, you know, about the part that I play, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I remember this guy asking me to share. And I said, well, why do you want me to share? You know, and he told me it was my responsibility, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And so that's what I tell other people. You know, because it's not about me. It's coming. It's about us coming together as a group and working together, you know, as a group. And I'm not here to teach a class either. You know what I mean? Because I need to get that straight. Because like I said, and I need to keep repeating that I'm not in charge. You know, but my experience, you know, tells me that I'm not running anything. You know, we have to have like things like group consciousness, you know. And then it talks about it in the, the second tradition, it talks about how there is only one ultimate authority, a loving God, you know, as he may express himself in our group conscience, and that we are but trusted servants, you know. And but I can get up in my head that I'm running some stuff, you know, and I'm not running anything. I can get up in the group and become real self-righteous. And I have done that, you know, and I took it to my sponsor. She was like, well, Sheila, you were being self-righteous, weren't you? I was like, I was. Okay, you know, so we learn, you know, going to business meetings, participating in the group, and like I shared before, it's a therapeutic value of one addict helping another without parallel. And all we have is our experience, you know, to share, you know, with another addict, you know, being of service, you know, going to a meeting and sharing experiences, our experiences, strength and hope, you know, and leading by example. And it's so funny. I said, Dad, God had me to come up here and share on this topic, you know, the fifth tradition. And when I was reading the tradition, it talked about empathy. It talked about honesty. You know, it talked about being caring. It talked about being loving, you know. And I thought it was just so strange, you know, to be going through a situation in life and how I can open my arms up to an addict, you know, with one day clean, you know, and have some empathy, you know, and look at where I came from, you know what I mean? And then, and tell them to keep coming back. You know, let's go to a meeting. You know, you want to drink some coffee. You want to go out and you want to go to a restaurant and eat some lunch. What you doing after the meeting? Those are things that I'm learning to do, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and participating in the group and sharing our opinions. That's what it talks about, sharing our opinions. You know, but it's mainly about I'm learning about my experience. You know, of Narcotics Anonymous and me participating in the group, me participating at the business meeting, you know, me being of service work, you know, and me sharing with another addict, because we're all addicts. It says in the end of the reading, it says that any addict, it says an addict, any addict can lose a desire and find a new way of life, you know, and it talks about finding freedom from active addiction. And I believe that I'm free today. I am. Because no longer am I going to the crack houses. You know, no longer, you know, am I participating in people, places, and things. But it's funny in my story how people, places, and things are, you know, put and centered in my life. You know what I mean? And then what do you do? And then when it's like, it's when it's somebody that's close to you, where's my empathy? Where's my love and my care and my concern? You know, because, you know, it's not about judging, like you said, because I need to remember when. You know, I need to remember when I was out there using in the streets, you know. And so coming in here and you all sharing your experience, strength, and hope, my goodness, I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful. You know, I came in here quiet, scared, you know, not knowing what to do or how to do it. And you all showed me, and you're still showing me, you know, by sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and by leading by example. You know, what do I have to give you? Nothing but my experience, strength, and hope. Me participating in a group, saying, dang, you know, I see her in the meeting all the time. You know, always giving a listening ear to another addict, you know, being a service and not getting in the way. You know, going to business meetings, participating in the business meetings, being there on time, you know, because I have a problem with time. So I'm learning, you know, about time and getting to places on time. You know, before I got up here, I was hyperventilating and anxieties was building up. It was like, I got to be on time, you know, and that's what it's about. You know, it's about being a service. It's about serving. You know, it's not about me. You know, it's not about, oh, I got this story. I got this, you know, this stuff going on. It's me leading by example. What do I do when I'm not in front of you all? Do I participate in the groups? Do I make it to business meetings? Am I participating in my home group? You know, am I sitting there and putting a dollar in the basket? You know, or am I holding my dollar in my pocket saying, no, I'm going to keep this dollar? You know what I mean? Am I participating? You know, when we have anniversaries, you know, am I participating being a chairperson? You know, am I participating in sharing my experience, strength, and hope, or telling somebody, I don't understand. I don't know. Can you help me with the traditions? I don't understand that tradition. They said the only requirement for membership is a desire, you know, to stop using. So all we have is our experience, strength, and hope. That's all we have. I thought I had so much more. You know what I mean? I thought I had so much more. You know, but all I can do, like I said, is lead by example and participate in Narcotics Anonymous because it's my responsibility. This was something that was so freely given to us, and it don't cost a dime. It's a gift. You know what I mean? It's a gift. So we learn as we go along because I'm still learning. I'm still learning. You know, just like, you know, participating as a sponsor because I sponsor other women. And when we do step meetings, it's like we can practice doing the traditions too and participating as a group. You know what I mean? So that we can help one another because that's what it talks about. It does in the traditions, in the fifth traditions. It says each group primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. So when I came in here, I was suffering. I was hurting. I was in a lot of pain. I was in desperation. You know, and y'all been showing me the way. Y'all been showing me, you know, and sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And I'm so grateful for that. Because I didn't know what to do when I came in here. You know, just like the day. You know what I mean? Going on in spite of y'all. You know, y'all shared that with me. To go on in spite of, no matter what's going on, if we just don't use things to get better. It doesn't mean that we ain't going to be hurting. We ain't going to go through no pain. You know what I mean? We're going to get in our own way lots of times because the nature of the disease is self-centeredness. You know, but when we participate, just like all of us sitting here, when we participate together, the unity, the togetherness, it talks about that in the first tradition. It talks about our unity. It talks about our togetherness. It talks about us coming together and working together to give back what was so freely. Like they say, it's a therapeutic value of one addict helping another without parallel. I don't know what else to say because he was talking about going into your story and, you know, in the drama and things. I got a whole lot of stuff, right? I got a whole lot of stuff, you know. I have a whole lot of stuff. But I'm just here to report that I'm learning the traditions. I'm learning to participate, that I'm not brand new. My sponsor told me last night, she said, when you think you got it, you just lost it. I said, I was defensive, right? Because I did an inventory when I got in my room. I said, oh, I'm not, I don't think I got it. You know, I said, I just want to be a lowly spirit because I do. You know, I want to be humble. And I want to think that I humble myself. And I don't. Y'all told me to find a power ahead that's greater than me. Make sure that it's loving and caring when I came in here. You know, so I've been surrendering and praying so that God can use me so that my image and my ego won't get in the way. Because it's about us. It's about we. It's not about I. You know, the guy that asked me to come in here and participate in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and all the other people in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, just watching people serve, you know, people giving hugs. You know, and all of that came about with having meetings, coming together, making decisions, having some structure, you know. And when he asked me to share, and when I arrived here, I just looked at him and I just smiled. I was like, you serving, aren't you? You know, because that's what it's about. It's about us serving. You know, it's about us serving one another. It's about leading by example. I'm no bigger than you. You're no bigger than me. They say there's no big eyes and little U's. You know what I mean? So, man, you know, 15 years later with one day at a time because all I have is today. That's all I have is today. You know, so I'm still willing to serve. I'm still willing to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm still willing to participate, you know, in a group so that I can learn about the traditions. So that I can be able to share my experience, strength, and hope. You know, it doesn't feel good when you get up here and you don't know what you're talking about, right? And acting like you know what you're talking about. You know, it don't feel good to do that. But I do know that I do have some experience. I do. You know, like I said, participating, you know, in a group. You know, and I participated in other fellowships, you know. And with the unity and the togetherness of the group, because man, our personalities get in the way. You know what I mean? They talk about practicing principles, you know, instead of personalities, but we have to learn the principles first, you know, so that we can be able to participate and lead by example. Therapeutic value of one addict helping another without parallel. No, so that means that we share our experience, strength, and hope with one another. So, I don't have much more to say. I'm getting ready to sit my butt down. I want to thank y'all for letting me serve, you know, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
You did good, baby. Thank you. I'm an addict, and my name is Leon, and we have maybe 15 minutes. Is there anyone in the audience that wants to share? Come on, George.
Thanks, Leo.
Okay.
I'm an addict, and my name is George.
Hey, George.
Tell me where you're from.
I'm from the West Side area, Free State region, Catonsville, Maryland, and I love NA. I can say that this fellowship, I saw the traditions at work before I ever knew the first thing about steps or anything. The first time I went to a meeting, and this is just my experience and not my opinion, I was 148 pounds, scared to death, February 21st, 1984, and after the meeting, it was a bitter cold night in a suburb called Towson, and it was a step meeting. And I didn't know step from Shinola, but I watched them. I watched them talking out on the parking lot. They were saying this whacked out stuff. I can only got to surrender to win. I can only keep what I have by giving it away. I was a guy that was reduced to animalistic levels, and I had no choices. I had no freedom. I was just somebody waiting to just lay down and die. That was my particular situation, almost 36 years old. And when they got in that circle, I was afraid to get in the circle. I didn't feel like I was even fit to walk the earth. My belief system had me cursed, and I could not forgive myself. I had no freedom. So they went out in the parking lot, and they're all smoking their Luckies or whatever. I'm standing downwind to make sure they're not smoking any product. But then they all went down to the Howard Johnson's down the street, and they were all sipping on those hot chocolates and eating those donuts and buns and things, and I was watching them like I was like casing them from another booth, waiting for the packages to flip and money to change hands. And this is when I saw the tradition. This is what got my attention. This is when God stepped into my life when I thought I had no God. They said to me, somebody recognized me, and they invited me to join them. Nobody ever invited me to join them. I was only welcome if I had the things that made me welcome, which was money or drugs. They told me to keep coming back, and that my only requirement for membership was a desire to stop using. In those early days, they used to say honest desire, and they made us give that up because that wasn't the case. So I saw all kinds of different meetings being formed in the Baltimore area in that period of time. And some of my friends and I, we went out and started lots of meetings in lots of places. And a lot of places wouldn't have they didn't want our kind around. But you see, we have the freedom of choice today. I was reduced from animalistic levels of behavior and actually got restored to humanity in this fellowship. And my autonomy is such that the groups can set up whatever format they want. Steps, traditions, if you want it all men, all women, over 30. Each group has this autonomy so that there's a little something for everybody, not that it's just a cookie cutter thing, you know, where they all run together. And when I'm working the 12th step and doing a 12th step call, I'm involved in service, and I'm a part of the group, and I don't ever do that by myself. There's only one thing that we have our experience, strength, and hope. As a group, as an individual, as an area, as a region, as a fellowship. And there's no real cause to, it says that if you came in here looking for to get to get smart, you'd go through college, or if you want to get rich, but our message is real, real simple, and the message is hope, and the promise is freedom. The traditions I saw saved my life. I wasn't so scared the next time to go to the next meeting. And I thought I was a tough guy, because I'd been some of these places that maybe some other people hadn't been. But you know what? I found out that I could be free, happy, joyous, and free if I followed the principles of this program. Thanks.
Anybody, would anyone else like to share? Come on, brother.
I'm adding stuff.
Oh, right.
I went to a meeting over there. There was four of them, like, they were standing room only, and not allowed to let nobody in here. Right? And I was the way the tradition is. I bet that's it.
And I don't know why. I came in here complaining about relationships, and this is where the answer for my relationships existed at, in the traditions. Mm-hmm. My first spiritual awakening wasn't about the steps, not at all. My first spiritual awakening, I was in this meeting, right? I was orange because I had an orange key tag, whatever, right? And I'm in this meeting. I'm listening to this guy. He's sharing, saying that his wife and his 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, however many kids, and himself had to go and live with his wife's mom. And that, he can't. Answer his phone after 11 o'clock, phone not supposed to ring, he got to be in the house by 9 o'clock, and he was up here ranting and raving and complaining about, he had to go by his wife's mom's rules because he was in her house. And then he said something that to knock me out of my chair. He said that he needed to be more like the seventh tradition, self-supporting, declining outside contribution. At that moment, I realized, now remember, I'm orange now, somewhere in 30 to 60 days, right? My whole life, I have been living purely off the generosity of others. Purely. That car, it wasn't mine. That was that girl car I was driving. Them clothes I had, all them suits and stuff I was wearing, it wasn't my suits. Them girls bought that for me. The food in the cabinets, nothing was mine. 40 years old, 39 years old, almost 40, and nothing was mine. So that meant that my whole life I had been living purely off the generosity of others. At that moment, I realized, and I admitted to myself, that if I'm going to be clean, I'm not going to do that anymore. So yeah, there was a raggedy, I rented a car to come here, but the raggedy car that I usually be driving, that's my car. Now my name is on the lease. Now the light bill is in my name, not my kid's name or some name that I created and made up a social security card. Right. You see, this is the kind of stuff that your traditions tell me about. The steps help me and keep me from committing suicide, killing myself. But the traditions keep me from committing homicide, which is killing y'all. And see, I realized, man, that the people who made this thing, they gave me 2 steps for a particular reason, right? In the 5th step, it says that I got to share my stuff with me, God, and another human being. Why? Right? I know. God know. Fuck y'all. Right? But the truth is that the reason why I got to share my stuff with me, God, and another human being is because those are the relationships that I destroyed with my using and abusing. I destroyed the relationship with me and me, destroyed the relationship with me and God, and destroyed the relationship with me and mankind. All right? So in the 6th step, they allow me to look at my character defects and character assets and finally get a grip on it where I could build a relationship with me. I could look in the mirror after the 6th step and I'm okay with me. Then in the 7th step, it allowed me to rebuild my relationship with God. Now, I say, you can't hurt God. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. How are you going to hurt him? I can't. But what I can do is I can hurt my relationship with him. And the way I hurt my relationship with him is by not including him. And here I am, you know, this man that don't know nothing about life, how to live. I'm just going off whatever happens, right? And I'm not including my help. So we're not born without skills. So the more I don't include him, right, the better I get at it. Or at least so I think. All right. But then when I get here, the seventh step, it asks me to include him in my day. So now I'm asking God, you know, help me have some humility. I'm including him in my day, and I'm rebuilding my relationship with the God of my understanding. Now, the people, like I said, who made this program, they saw me coming because they gave me two steps to help me rebuild my relationship with mankind, right? 8 and 9. All right? And that's what I'm talking about. These traditions tie in to me rebuilding my relationship with mankind. You know, when I first came around here, I didn't come here because I wanted to stop using. I really didn't. I came here because I was at the end of my rope, right? I'm a 3-time loser, and what I mean by that is I had 3 families and lost each and every one by one. And I was at the end of my rope. I had nobody else to lie to and nobody else to believe my lies. So I'm hopeless. I'm in a hopeless dilemma. So that is the reason that I came here. So I came here because of a broken heart. And anybody who had a broken heart, you know that there ain't nothing you could do to change it. You can't cut it on and off like a light switch. You're going to feel what you feel, and no amount of spiritual nothing, check the third step and it works how and why, is going to fix it. You just have to learn to live through it, and with the help of the fellowship and the program, you can get through it clean. So I came here because of this broken relationship. So now I'm like, God damn it, I don't even know how to have relationships. There's no rule book or nothing. And then I found the traditions. When it said in the traditions that it said, what's good for the group is usually good for the individual. I'm like, then there must be some principles in these traditions that is just like the steps that's good for the individual. That's going to help me to be able to not commit homicide. In other words, to be able to get along with others. When I looked at where it said, the only requirement for membership is a desire not to use. I looked at that and I said, oh, snap. I began seeing it in another light. The only requirement in a relationship is the desire not to use and abuse each other. So that means that if I'm in a relationship and I'm abusing, then it ain't a relationship, it's just abuse. So I began to use these traditions as the new guideline to build my relationships. And when I started doing that, what I realized is that all of a sudden, the relationships that I have that end, we're still friends. I ain't make no monsters this time. You know what I mean? So obviously there's something in the traditions that allows me to be able to get along with people. And getting along with people is a big part of recovery. Because when I'm talking about recovery, I'm talking about getting some stuff back. You lose your keys, you get your keys back, you recover your keys. Well, I don't want to get back the money that I lost, the girls that I lost, the cars that I lost. What I want to get back is those things that I couldn't buy. The honor, love, and respect of those people who I shitted on. And those people who come into my life today, how do I get that? And these traditions were the thing that were going to allow me to be able to get that, to recover, not just stop using drugs, but to get my shit, get my life together. That's the traditions. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, about out of time. Let's thank all the speakers, and we're going to close.